I want to start with us all reading together Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, which is really about the parable of the sower and the seed, which I went into last week, and today we're going to look at a bigger picture. Let's read it together. Here we go. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had not much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown in them. And these in like manner are the ones sown upon rocky ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would allow me to speak your word today, and that it might fall upon us like seed, and that you might work in us your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is the question I want you to kind of ponder with me today. What do you think Jesus was really up to? What do you think he was up to while he walked this earth? I don't know where you are personally in your faith, but let me tell you where I am in my faith. I am interested in the same things Jesus was interested in. I believe that it is he who has called me into faith and then to follow him and be a disciple and also into the ministry and lead you in his ways. I believe that it is Jesus who put me into ministry here with you and that I am called to lead you in the ways of Jesus. So I believe that it is right for me to be interested in the same things that Jesus was interested in. If you look at our mission statement, which you have really at the top of your bulletin, just above our name, that's our mission, that's our purpose, to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and make Him known. And you can go out there and you can see it on the wall, too. Our mission statement says, in essence, that we are interested in what Jesus is interested in. Our mission as a church involves two things: broadcasting and building. Now, I don't mean broadcasting like on a radio or television, but broadcasting like the sower in the parable today, because The sower of seed was casting that seed abroad. That's what they call a sower who goes out to sow. He casts seed out broadly. He just throws it out, and anywhere it lands, it can find root if it's good. Broadcasting seed is what evangelism is really all about. Spreading the word wherever you can is what Jesus is interested in. But he's also interested in another thing. The first is broadcasting. In fact, in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we hear Jesus say that he is interested in broadcasting. Let's read Matthew 28, verse 19 only. Here we go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's broadcasting. In our mission statement, it's part that says to know Jesus as Savior and to make Him known. Broadcasting is on the basis of declaration, proclamation, circulation, pass the word around, televise, distribute, shout it from the rooftop if necessary. And in the Great Commission here, that is, go therefore and make disciples and baptize them. Make believers. And Jesus is interested in making believers of the world in order to save the world through his death. A lot of churches stop there. They get people into the church of Jesus Christ and they stop. But as I said, I'm interested in what Jesus is interested in. And Jesus also said that there's going to be a discipling process. He not only said, go into all the world, make disciples by baptizing them, but also he said what it says in Matthew 18, 20. And let's read it together. Here we go. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Now listen, our mission as a church is to know Jesus as Savior and make Him known. That's evangelism. That's broadcasting the word like seed. That makes believers of those we touch. But that isn't all that we are to do. Our mission is to know Jesus as Savior, yes, but also Lord. That is Lord of our lives and to make Him known to others, not only as Savior, but also as Lord. Now that's the second half of the Great Commission, which a lot of churches and Christians forget to implement, teaching them to observe or obey all that He commands. Jesus is interested in two things when it comes to His people, His church, broadcasting and building, and they are really two different things. Broadcasting is our declaration and make believers. Building is on the basis of discipleship and obedience to His will. Now, for those of you who have been to a great banquet, you know that discipleship is different than believing. Discipleship is a life of obedience in worship and study and action. Discipleship is done on the basis of personal discipline. No discipline, no disciple. Building discipleship has to do with the shaping of your life. As you hear and you respond to the Word of God, and then you become fruitful, it's the shaping of your life. It's the second half of our mission statement, and it's the second half of the Great Commission that I'm talking about here. It has to do with hearing, obeying, and bearing fruit, to know Jesus as Lord. It has to do with people submitting to Jesus, obeying Jesus with their lives. They allow themselves to be shaped and developed. Making Jesus as Lord of your life is choosing to follow Jesus and do as He says, and then you disciple others around you. Discipling is essentially a response to the revelation of the Word of God in you. As you allow Jesus to teach you, or other of his disciples teach you, you respond and you obey. No discipline, no disciple. So our mission is to know Jesus first as Savior and make Him known as Savior, but also then to know Jesus as Lord of our own lives first, and then helping others to not only receive him as Savior, but to submit to him as Lord of their lives as well. The problem that most churches have, most Christians have, is not the first half, knowing him as Savior, but really knowing him as Lord, the second half of it. Now, as I said, I'm interested in what Jesus is interested in, so let me back up to the original question this morning, which is the title of this message. What do you think Jesus was really up to? Well, in order to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, we have to look at his earthly life, and we have to walk with him in that in some way. So let's get to know Jesus a little bit better today as we look at his life. You know, when you study the life of Jesus, it helps us understand why certain things happen when they happen. And I would say for most of us, the life of Jesus is kind of just a collection of things that happen. We start at Christmas with his birth, the flight into Egypt, and his return. When he was 12, he goes down to the temple and his family loses him for a couple of days. And next thing we know, he's 30 years old and baptized. And he goes into the wilderness, he gets tempted. Then things kind of get blurry for most of us as a whole bunch of things get mixed all together. It's what I call the Reader's Digest condensed version of Jesus' life. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he preaches and he teaches, and he feeds the 5,000, or was it 4,000? And he stills the storm, and he talks to Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. He walks on water, he fishes with Peter, etc., etc., and things get all kind of mixed together. Then comes Holy Week. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In that week, we have the Last Supper, betrayal, the Garden of Gethsemane, the cross, resurrection, and then the ascension at some point. But between birth and death, there's just a lot of stuff that happens. But if you study his life in sequence, some things become more meaningful. But most of us don't see it because we don't study the Bible, for one thing, or we get lazy or we get distracted by other priorities, too busy, and dare I say it, undisciplined. Now, last week I went through this parable of the sower with you with a fine-tooth comb, you might say. But today I want to kind of look at this event around the parable because it helps us understand what Jesus is really up to in this world. And it really has to do with our mission statement and the Great Commission. When Jesus tells this parable of the sower, it's about a year into his ministry in public, and he was making the distinction between broadcasting the Word of God and building disciples here, building his people, his church. He was not only broadcasting the Word, but he was also working on a discipling program for a few people. Let me show you this event of the parable of the sower so that you kind of get know Jesus a little bit better, so you can know a little bit better where you are in his mission and our mission to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. What's happening here is there's a crowd, and it is so big that they decide to get in a boat and they push off a little off the shore so that Jesus could get some distance between him and the crowd. And he teaches from the lake. Now, if you've ever been around water, you know your voice carries better over water. But this time, when he teaches, it's different than what he has done before. This time, he uses stories. On his earlier tour to this region, he taught by principles like the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. He declared the kingdom of God. The message at that time was that the kingdom of God is present right now and salvation is available. And he did it in teachings and principles. But God loves you. He wants you to answer to your need, wherever it is. And that was the essence of the message. And no sooner was it spoken than the power of God would begin to move and people would be healed and the crowds heard about it, and that was the first time around in the Galilee region. Well, here comes Jesus again into the same region. And the crowds gather because the word's gotten out. Have you heard the news? That prophet from Nazareth, he's coming here again. It was as if Jesus and his traveling roadshow are coming to town. Everybody was flocking to hear him. Now, you got to understand, they didn't have TV back then, or movies, or Disney World, or Six Flags, or bowling alleys. This was entertainment. And you got to get that into the picture. And keep in the back of your mind that question, what is Jesus really up to? And the Great Commission, which we read in Matthew, and our mission statement, which is out there on the wall. Well, in this setting, Jesus does something he has never done before. He tells stories. Now, we call them parables. He teaches with pictures and images, and they weren't mysterious. Every story he told was easy enough to understand if the right ears heard it. You know, we've had great storytellers in our history in this country. Mark Twain and Will Rogers in this country. Every good comedian entertains, and some of them make points with stories about themselves or pictures. And if you've ever heard Bill Cosby do it, he was a good example of that. A lot of our movies tell a story to entertain, but they can teach us principles of life while we enjoy the story. That's why I do so many messages around movies. Jesus did it. He just didn't have all the technology. Jesus told stories that related to that time, and he used stories that taught principles that related to the kingdom of heaven. He taught them about people, about himself, about a merciful father, about prodigal children, and so forth. Well, this day, Jesus tells this story about dirt and seed, but he didn't explain it. Not only that, but that day there weren't any miracles either. And the crowd gathered because they think, well, hey, man, here he comes again. This ought to be good. He's got their attention. And he tells them a story about sowing seed and dirt. And when he gets done, he says, if you have ears to hear, then may you listen to this. And he turns to his disciples and he says, let's go ashore. I'm done. And the crowds and the disciples are thinking to themselves, what do you mean you're done? That's it? And he walks through the crowd and he leaves. But a few people follow him. And Jesus had just had a very different kind of meeting. All the other meetings he is telling about the power of God's Spirit. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we repent of our sins, we will have an entry of God's power and there will be miracles that take place. And the people are thinking and asking, is that all there is? What's going on here? And there are some who ask the important question, what is Jesus really up to? And it's the question of the day. And it has to do with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and it has to do with our mission statement. And Jesus answers the question, I'll tell you what I'm up to. It is given to you who have followed me here and ask. It is given to you to know the secrets of what is really going on and what I'm up to and what God is up to. You had to follow, you had to choose, but to those outside, the crowd that comes because there is a crowd or it's the thing to do or just to get their kicks, they can't hear the deeper message. All they want to do is see stuff happen. They are what I call carnival Christians. You know, they show up and the word falls of them, but for most of it, it just kind of withers and dies and gets choked out because they don't have the story applied to their lives. You know, if we don't apply his words to ourselves, we have deaf ears. In other words, if we don't take Jesus' word as gospel and apply it, it won't grow in us. If you won't submit yourself to his commands as Lord, you don't know him as Lord. Jesus was saying there are people who hear the message, but they won't receive it and be changed by the message. And the reason is they didn't want to be changed in the first place. That's what conversion means, by the way. Now, they may be saved. Everybody wants to be saved, but very few people want to be converted, changed from the inside out. It's the difference of calling Jesus as Savior and calling Him as Lord of your life, not only Savior. Saved is born again, go to heaven. And in our mission statement, it is knowing Jesus as Savior and making Him known as Savior. In the Great Commission, it is making believers in Jesus as Savior and baptizing them, but converted is changed. Converted is discipleship. Converted in our mission statement is knowing Jesus as Lord and making Him known to others. In the Great Commission, it is teaching ourselves to obey and observe what He commands, and then teaching others to obey and observe what He commands. Well, we might have the idea like of forgiveness from sin, but it implies release from death that comes with sin. But very few of us really want to stop sinning. Everybody wants forgiveness, but very few people want to stop sinning. Everybody wants to be a believer, but very few people really want to be a disciple. Everyone wants Jesus as Savior, but very few of us really want to make Him Lord of our lives. And Jesus was saying there are people who will come to any crowd scene when you've got something going on because they like the show. They like seeing the power of God. They love forgiveness and love. Let there be love. You know, I'm interested in the things Jesus said and did because I want to know what Jesus was really up to. And the reason I want to know is He is the one who called me into this work. And Jesus said there is love and there is forgiveness and there is power. But this is the second time around with you people. And there is also truth and discipline and order to the way things are. And Jesus is saying in this setting, this is my second time around with you people. And I've not come here just to entertain you. I've come to call you into discipleship. And that's going to require that you listen and respond and bear fruit. Jesus was not just a broadcaster of the gospel. Jesus is also the builder of His church. And His church is people. And it's the difference between broadcasting and building that's the real issue in this event at this time when He switches to parables. In this scripture, He explained the meaning of the parable of the sower to a few people, and I elaborated on that last week, and if you want to know more about that, you just go out there and get the CD off the wall. What Jesus was really up to here was to find out who the good soil was, because ultimately those who were good soil would produce more seed to sow. You realize that if you are a good soil and you produce seed, you're producing the Word of God to be cast abroad again. In essence, become sowers of the seed in the future. And He was beginning the process of separating the believers from the disciples. He was separating those who received Him only as Savior from those who received Him as Savior and Lord. He was thinning the crowd, you might say. Now, Jesus is not a grandstander. One of the biggest crowds He had was that day beside Galilee. He didn't play to them. He said, listen, a sower went out to sow. And when He got done telling the story, He didn't even bother to make the point. He walked off the boat, went into a quiet place, and essentially said after the lesson, if anybody's interested further, there's another meeting later. That's all He did. Now, I can imagine people going home thinking, hey, I thought we were going to have healings today. I thought this was going to be a big show. But they didn't realize that Jesus is just as interested in healing our fears, our ignorance, and overcoming the deep level things in us that lock up our personalities and put us in bondage as He is interested in healing a leper or the blind people or the crippled people where it shows. The physical ailments, as painful as they are a lot of times nothing compared to what is down deep in us that needs to be healed and changed. And Jesus said, it's like Isaiah prophesied, there will be people who will come and listen, but they won't really listen. They will just listen to the talk, but they won't listen with their hearts. There will be people who come and see, and they will see, but if you say, look deeper now, they will say, well, I'm not interested in that, because they don't want to be converted or changed or released. They want to be forgiven of their sins, but they don't want to stop sinning. They want to be saved, but they don't want to be changed. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And he's looking for members who, above everything else, would listen. Let me pause and say that joining this church or any church is absolutely meaningless if you have not come and received Jesus as your Savior first. You don't get into the church of Jesus by joining. You are born into it. And then you join the part of Jesus' church that you believe he wants you to be in. And it has a local expression in a local congregation. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And he is looking for members who, above everything else, would listen and make him Lord as well as Savior. And he said, you draw the line when you stop listening. Because when you do, then things stop happening. Jesus broadcast the gospel to many people, but he was about the task of building a few. And I want to make sure I know what Jesus is really up to, because I'm interested in doing what Jesus wanted to do. And I hope you do too. Each of us here draws the line when we stop listening, because then things stop happening in us. You who have ears to hear, may you hear. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we ask that we would have ears to hear and to listen and respond and be shaped by your word. And we bring this to you in Jesus' name.